Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast, and this is Laura from the future, and I am very excited to share that I'm in a brand new space. I am actually in a new apartment. I moved a couple of weeks ago. Love it. Love the space. Love the natural light. And so I have actually beautiful windows and a balcony space. So it's a very exciting thing. I want to give you a brief intro to this episode so you get to know what to expect. So in this episode, we're chatting with Victoria from Bibu Lifestyle and Francesca from Under the Covers Book Blog. We do have a special announcement at the end of the show, so we want you to stay tuned for it. First things first, I met with Francesca about 5 years ago in 2019. We both were living in New York, and Francesca was about to move to Florida, and I ended up planning to move to Chicago, and then a couple of years later, I ended up moving to Florida. So we're in the same coast of Florida. Francesca came on the show to talk about paranormal romance and different romance. She's been a book blogger for about 10 years, so it's been a long time. And so she has seen the community thrive and grow and just change all along. And a couple years later, I met Victoria as part of her Epigraph Literary Festival, which is a virtual festival that happens at least once a year. And it's a great place to connect with other readers and get to different places and different ideas and different reading books to read. And so we connected, she came on the show, we realized we have similar values, similar interests, and so we started working together, and we've been working together ever since. Now we work every morning, Francesca, Victoria, and I, we meet and chat every single morning, and it's been a great experience just to have built that built-in community. So we decided, well, let's expand this a little bit, so you'll hear more about that. So in this episode, you get to know each other, you get to know our reading tastes, our book tastes, our actually TV and pop culture and the things that we love. You get to know a little bit about each other and get to hear some of our special announcements. So now let's get to the show.
Hi, everyone. I'm Victoria from Biblio Lifestyle.
I'm Laura from What to Read Next podcast.
And I'm Francesca from Under the Covers Book Blog.
We are three friends who met online, and I can say we've met in person too. And it's just been a grand time getting to know all these gals. And I have to say, we have one thing in common. Fun fact, we all live in Florida, though we live in different cities. We're on different coasts. How have you guys been in Florida? So far, I'm in my seventh year going into my eighth. How long have you been here, Francesca?
So I did Florida twice. I came in the year 2001. And then I moved to New York in 2008. So I did 7 years that time. And I was on the East Coast mostly and a little bit on the West Coast. But now this time I came back in 2020. So it's 4 years now.
What about you, Laura?
So I moved in 2021 to September 2021 to Tampa. I had lived in New York long term. I knew Francesca, we both lived in New York at around the same time. And then I moved in 2020 to Chicago, and things happened, tax reasons happened, and they were like, can you move to Florida? And I was like, sure, I'll move to Florida. And so I've been here for 3 years.
Wow, awesome. So my last quarter call was actually, I was in London before I moved to Florida. So that was the last one. Before that, I was in Italy with my husband. He was like there before that. I was in Australia for some time, back in London. I was in Jamaica, I was in South Africa. So yeah, I've been moving quite a bit, but it's fair to say, I think Florida is gonna be home. So on the note of traveling and the fact that we've lived in different places, which is also something we have in common, what are the top three travel destinations? What are those places on the bucket list? Laura, where are you hoping to visit soon?
So I'm hoping to visit Barcelona and Madrid. I'm hoping to go to
thing. I've been to Lisbon. It's like one of my favorite cities. So I want to do like one of those trips or go a couple weeks and just travel around that Iberian coast. But I love Aruba. I've been there a couple times. It's one of my favorite Caribbean islands. It's just fun to just go.
What about you, Francesca? Where do you want to go?
So I want to go to India. My mom lives or was living half a year in India. So I definitely want to go when I can spend at least a couple of months, because I want to do a lot of traveling, all the non-touristy things, because obviously she knows plenty of locals. So I think I'm going to get a nice, good experience. So that's been on my huge bucket list. And also Thailand. So again, I feel like that's East is where I want to go. I've done plenty of Europe travel, but yeah, I would say probably more of the East is where I want to explore more. And Australia. And Australia. That has been on my bucket list for a while.
I love Australia. My husband hasn't been, so I want to carry him, but that would be like a bucket list destination for me. Yeah. I've never been to New Zealand, though, which is nearby. Mm-hmm. So the hope is, okay, maybe, you know, the stars can align and we have this 1 month off from work, hopefully. Would love to take him there so he can see it. But I would love to go to New Zealand. I've never been there. I'd love to go to Japan. Japan is big on my list, although I just read an article saying that so many tourists are flocking to Japan. They had 3 million tourists in 1 month. Which was insane. I was like, ooh, that's a lot of people. But we have in common, Francesca, India. I would love to go to India. I'd also love to go to Sri Lanka. I think the East, I've been to some Eastern countries, but majority of it has eluded me. And I want to go to Hawaii. So my husband and I have never been to Hawaii. So he's never been, I've never been. I'm like, okay, great. This is like a nice middle ground of a place that we both want to go and visit, hopefully check out the fishing and the beaches. And it's really isolating. So I think we would like to venture out there. So we love travel. We've traveled a lot. We've lived in different places, but we're also readers, and reading also takes you on travel. Some books take you on more armchair travels than others. Tell me about the last book that you read that was set in a really cool destination. Tell me about it, Francesca.
So most recently, I would say it was a destination wedding book, and it's Only for a Week by Natasha Bishop, and it's a travel destination to Tulum, Mexico. I wish they would have explored it just a little bit more, but it was a really fun book. I really enjoyed it.
That's fun. What about you, Laura? Any destination reading, armchair traveling happening?
So I am currently listening to The Pairing by Casey McQuiston, which is actually a Europe trip. It's going to different cities and eating all the fruits and drinking all the wine and having the time of their life while having an icy, will they one day, you know, romance.
Fun. I just finished, because I was chatting with her for the podcast, Jessie Rosen. She wrote a book called The Heirloom. And it's about a woman who gets this vintage ring. Her family is superstitious, which I could relate to. And they have this rule: do not accept an engagement if you have a vintage ring or an heirloom from someone that you don't know, and you don't know like that family's history and karma. And the fiance proposes with a vintage ring he bought in a shop. So she goes traveling to discover who previously owned the ring, was their relationship storyline. And of course, hijinks ensues. So she leaves LA, she goes to New York, but then she also goes to Italy, which was really fun. So yeah, The Heirloom by Jessie Rosen. And that was really cool. So what are some of your childhood favorite books? Because I think like some of those books that we read in our younger years really define us in a way. It sets the pace for our reading lives. When I think of childhood favorites, I do think of The Secret Garden a lot. That was something that really captivated me. Yes, I know the book doesn't bode well. It didn't age well in some parts of it, but it was a huge part of my childhood. What was a book that stands out to you, Laura?
So I have to say, Three Valley High. It makes sense. If you know me, you understand, because I love romance. I love soapy dramas. I love like problematic books. There might be like bad writing. And so I love the series. I remember growing up and going every month to go pick up my new edition of The Wonderful Life of Jessica and Elizabeth's Adventures as they live in California and live the time of their life. And I thought that was high school because it was very different from my experience in Puerto Rico.
Makes sense. I think high school for me would be Agatha Christie. I really went down a deep Agatha Christie rabbit hole when it comes to like authors that made me really love literature. I know this is going to sound very traditional, but like Thomas Hardy did it for me. Just obsessed with the man. And Maid Gray was another mystery author that captivated me. Francesca, what was some of those early books?
Oh, I mean, for high school was also Agatha Christie for me, but I'm going to have a really eclectic taste here because when I was little, I was reading really crazy, like nonfiction, you know, none of the stuff that we're talking about here. So I would say one that was really, it really made an impact was Only Love Is Real by Brian White. I had read a couple of Brian White's books before, and I mean, most of his theme is reincarnation. And I had actually gone out. That was my first book that I went out. I bought on release day and I read it. Like I came home and I read the whole thing. And I was thinking about that recently because the theme of that book is romance in a way. Because basically it's him as a therapist and he realizes that two people that are his clients are kind of like telling him the same stories. And he realizes like they've been soulmates and he starts scheduling their appointments at the same time, so they run into each other in the waiting room. So I guess in a weird way, that defines my romance reading through nonfiction when I was like 10. That and then a book by a Spanish author, it's actually a trilogy, is I'm El Niño de las Estrellas and by Enrique Barrios. And that whole trilogy is basically kids' books. So there's this boy and there's an alien that comes and takes them on these adventures through different planets. So again, there goes my love for pinballs. It all makes sense in a weird way.
It all makes sense. I'm that happy, romantic, feel-good kind of girl. I was just like very dark. Like the Jane Eyre, the Rebecca, the gothic anything, Henry James, son of the screw. I don't know. Yeah. I did not gravitate to feel-good books at all, I think probably till later in life.
I mean, technically, that's not, most of my stuff was like nonfiction stories of corruption and whatever as a 10-year-old, you know, like even as an 8-year-old. So makes no sense.
This mix, we really bring an eclectic mix through it all together. But that's pretty cool. Books are great storytelling mediums, but also movies, TV, film, reality TV, pop culture. I mean, books are a part of pop culture, but there's great storytelling in movies too and reality TV. I'm very reality TV obsessed. Okay, Real Housewives, I watch them all. I have to be honest, I did fall off the OC bandwagon for a bit, but I'm back. I just saw the trailer for the next season and I'm like, oh my god, this is so exciting. New Jersey is very dark right now, but Dubai is so light and funny. I loved how in the first episode they were, okay, wait for it. In the first episode, they were talking about the Beyonce concert that happened in Dubai, which was like this really super private affair. It's not like you could, you know, buy tickets. It wasn't on the open market. It was just like the who's who went to that concert for Beyonce. So just the fact that you're there, you're an it person. And these women are fighting over VIP and VVIP. So VIP was going to the stage, but VVIP was where the Kardashians, Beyonce's mom, you know, like the high profile people that are arguing over not only were they at the Beyonce concert, which again, if you're it, but they're talking about who was in the VVIP, who was extra special, who got invited. And yeah, I like petty stuff like that because I think reality TV is like cultural anthropology. Okay, you are really getting invested in women's lives and women's stories. And I know for some people it might not be their cup of tea, but that kind of storytelling, is there anything like movies, film or pop culture, TV, book to screen adaptations that capture your attention, Laura?
I love frothy, like frothy, flirty, fun shows. Like, so from that sense of like teenage shows, teenage soapy dramas, like Gossip Girl OC to Max and Hall, which is like my newest obsession, along with some Turkish Netflix shows like Thank You Next and reality TV Love Island. I watch both the UK and I do have a VPN, so I do pay for the ITV. And then the US version of Peacock, which gotta love it. Ariana is just hosting it because her ex-boyfriend told her he would never have the patience to watch it. And I'm like, girl, she's now hosting it. So it gets better.
Actually, how do you feel about Ariana? I saw her picture. Like, she looks amazing. I mean, she's giving outfits, she's giving body. She looks good. I'm excited.
She looked good and she's doing a great job. Like, she's actually really involved with the season. Which is a lot of times the host is kind of like on a side by, where she's invested. And I think sometimes it's nice to have a fan who's invested in the show and the show success and like the drama and just being the girl's girl that she is in. And she's like going to support them because men are sometimes trash. Like just
all the time. What time? Men are trash. Okay. I will die. Men are trash. And yes, I have a husband, but I still tell him men are trash. It is what it is. I also love scripted too, because I was really thinking when you said Gossip Girl, that brought me back. I love Gossip Girl. I watched the reboot. I don't know where they are with that now. I also love this show called The Gilded Age. I am obsessed. The Gilded Age is on HBO. I think because I grew up with the English period dramas and all that stuff, like, for me, I'm over it. I was really excited for an American period drama. We really get to see, you know, the who's who of New York at that time, you know, the Astor family and all the other people, the railroad people, JP Morgan people. It was just really fascinating. So I'm obsessed. And The Gilded Age is on HBO Max. Francesca, what are you into? Movies, film, reality TV, anything? What are you watching?
My reality TV days kind of like dropped in the early 2000s. I used to watch a lot of it. And that's probably because I don't watch as much TV nowadays. So that maybe has something to do with it. But probably what I spend time watching is either one type of book to screen adaptation. Like, I do watch Outlander and I am following Bridgerton, obviously. Fun fact is that I really haven't read the thing. I am watching it, but I didn't read it. Which is fine. No, I mean, I did read a couple of Bridgertons, but not, you know, not the whole thing. And then other than that, I kind of like darker things. So either action series or movies or a lot of mafia TV shows, serial killers. I was a big fan of You, that one I actually read. But I really enjoyed also the TV show and stuff. So yeah, probably a little bit darker on what I watch than what I read, although I do read also some dark stuff, but yeah.
That's funny. So I read the darker stuff. Like, I live in the pages of the darker stuff, but I will not watch it on my own. If my husband has something going on, you know, occasionally we'll look up a horror or a mystery. And quite honestly, I find some of the documentaries on ID scary. I'll watch with someone, but that is not a rabbit hole I'm going down by myself. So that is very interesting. Also, I know folks tend to compare like the book to screen adaptation thing. I used to do that. So let me say, I'm reformed now. I used to do that. I always say the book is better. But now, I think I'm in a space where I'm recognizing they're two different storytelling medium. So the book is giving us one story and what's on screen is another story. So I'm not really measuring them the same and expecting the same result. Yeah. But anyway, so I'm going to get into some rapid fire questions, right? A little bit on our reading preferences, a little on genre, and a little on self-care, because the thing is, I don't take myself too seriously, especially when it comes to books and even watching television. It's all fun. Okay, so we're going to start with reading preferences, rapid fire. So fiction or nonfiction, Laura?
Fiction.
Francesca?
Fiction.
Same for me, fiction. Paperback or hardcover, Laura?
None. I don't read e-books, so sorry, I do not read physical books.
Okay, what about you, Fran?
Same like Laura. However, if I had to choose, hardcover.
Yeah, I'm a hardcover girly. Okay, so clearly e-reader of physical books. I think I know what Laura's going to say to me.
E-read.
Fran?
E-reader. I prefer audio than ebook anyway, so I would go audiobooks. than e-reader.
Well, I'm a physical book girl over e-reader. Now, here's a tough one for you guys then. Ebook or audiobook? You can only pick one, Laura. Ebook or
audio? Audio. We're in the audio era.
Same, audio.
I'm choosing audio too. Miss out one book at a time? Or do you have multiple books going at a time, Laura?
Multiple. I have 110 books that I'm currently reading Goodreads. So yes, it's multiple.
What about you, Fran?
You definitely beat me, Laura. It is definitely multiple, but probably like when I have 7 or 8 going at the same time, I feel like I'm doing too much. So 100 is a lot.
I do multiple books, but I kind of like to just finish one story and be done with it and then move on to the next. So I'll start multiple books in the beginning, but then I'll commit to one and finish, and then I'll go back and commit and finish. So I start with multiple, but I and ultimately want to finish one first. Okay.
Yeah, and for me also, it's the format, because there's always got to be at least one ebook and at least one audiobook. So that's the bare minimum. And then also about my mood, you know, so I like to have something going that's dark, maybe something going that's light. And then depending how I feel in that moment, that's the one that's getting picked up.
Yeah, I think formats I do mix, because I will have an audiobook, which is separate from what I'm reading, because like my brain can separate them, because it's like different storytelling mediums to me. So yeah, no, that's cool. So I guess, Francesca, mood reader and plan TBR, you're clearly mood.
Mood, 100%.
You, Laura?
Mood.
Mood. I can't follow a plan to save my life.
I try.
And I really do have best intentions, especially when I'm reading for the summer reading guide. And I'm like, okay, I want to get through these books, but I will start now. I'm like, no, next. I can't help it. I really can't.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we eat snacks when we're reading, or you prefer to have just a beverage going? What about you, Laura?
None.
What about you, Francesca?
None. No.
I like munchies. Bare minimum a beverage. Like, I wouldn't say burp. But they know from meeting me in person, I get hangry. I need food. I need food. Okay. Books that are less than 500 pages or books more than 500 pages? Laura?
Less than 500.
What about you, Fran?
Less than 500. I feel like there's very few books that need to be over 500 pages. And most of the books that are over 500 pages, to me, there's just too much fluff that should have been edited out. I have no patience with that.
No patience. Okay, so I have a little notation here. I will say less than 500 pages for most of the year, but over 500 pages during the winter time. Don't ask me why. But late fall going into winter, like, I just want that one big chunky book that's going to keep me going for a while. I don't know. I guess it's the mood. I want to commit to something longer. I don't know. But that's what happens at winter. Okay. Are you more a slow reader or fast reader? I'm fast. What about you, Laura?
So I am a medium size, I guess, because I used to be a fast reader and now I'm slow. So we're just averaging to medium.
Okay, what about you, Fran?
Same like Laura. I used to be a really fast reader, and I've come to terms with the fact that I'm not like that anymore, and I don't want to be like that anymore. So yeah, that was a process getting to be okay with that, because I used to read so many books. So I'm fine in the medium, happy medium.
No, I'm fast. The way you know I really love a book is when I slow it down. When I slow it down, it's I don't want to leave this world. I don't want to leave these characters. And then I really drag on it. And then my husband will be like, I'm like, yes, a chapter a day. I don't want to end. I don't want it to end. So yeah, I'm very peculiar. You know I love something when I slow it down. Okay, genres. It's tough for you guys, I think. Romance or thriller? Laura?
Romance.
What about you, Fran?
Romance.
Yeah, I'm a thriller. I'm a thriller. It's like, I can't live without that. Okay. Horror or mystery?
Mystery.
Mystery.
I'm a horror. What's wrong? Teaming up against me. Like, I'm the lone person here. I love a horror. Okay. Classic or contemporary?
Contemporary.
Yeah, I'm the lone wolf again. Historical fiction or nonfiction?
Nonfiction.
Historical fiction.
Historical fiction for me. Okay, I've got company for the first time. Fantasy or cozy mystery?
Cozy mystery.
Fantasy.
I have to say both. Because I love a cozy mystery. I love the community and quirky characters and the setting. But I love a fantasy. I love escaping. So I'm going to say both because I really can't pick. All right, the self-care bit. Are we tea folk or coffee folk?
What coffee?
It's all for me. Weirdly, like it really depends on the time of day because I will have both coffee and tea every single day. But if I have to pick one, coffee.
Yeah, I enjoy coffee and tea. I start my day with coffee and then I end with tea. So it's kind of like a wind down. But fun fact, I never consumed coffee a day in my life prior to moving to the US.
Never.
And then I needed it to survive. I'm like, inject it in my vein. No, seriously, I never had coffee. It was just tea. At most, if I went to a coffee shop, I'd get a mocha or something, but heavier on the chocolate. But yeah, I never had coffee before moving to the States. But now I need it injected in my vein like, through the day. All right, self-care. Do we do yoga or do we go for a walk?
Yoga.
Walking. I get more out of walking. Okay, do we read for self-care or would we prefer to journal?
Oh, that's hard. I do journal. I journal and reading is for my anxiety.
When I look at it.
What about you?
I'm going to go with both, too. I don't know that I could pick one over the other.
Oh,
it's tough, right? And I knew it was hard. Because we both read and we're both journalers, you know, all three of us. So it's, it's tough. I'm going to say both too. Okay. Do we order in self-care or do we cook?
Order in. Even though Tampa food is not good. The food is not good.
And same for me. If it's self-care, it's getting ordered in. I try my best with what I'm ordering in because the options here are not the best part. But self-care for me, I love to cook, but it's not what I de-stress with. It's more of a necessity and I enjoy it, but no. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ordering in too, but the self-care would be baking. I like baking. I like the preciseness of it. And that slows me down. So I actually bake for self-care, not no, I will order in. Okay, do we jam out to music or do we do more art therapy?
Now I'm in a music era, so I would say music.
Yeah, same for me, music.
Hands down, music all the time. Okay, are we night owls or early morning people for self-care?
I don't know, because I used to be I have like really clear night routines, but because I have insomnia, it's just the mess. So my optimal time is afternoon.
That's up for me.
I'm early morning self-care. I have to do it in the morning before anyone terrorizes me. It's just fact. So I take care of myself in the morning. And I feel like the evenings are for everyone else. So I don't really get that alone time. Minus if I go to the bathroom and like I'm doing, you know, the thing. What about you, Francesca?
So for me, it's both. There is a little bit at night and a little bit early in the morning.
Awesome. Well, I think we'll get a good grasp of us, who we are, hopefully, from this and that kind of thing, from our reading to genre preferences to how we slow down and take care. Because again, I don't like to take myself too seriously, especially when it comes to and reading and all of that. Yeah, but we have an announcement to make. Francesca. Laura, friend, how about you announce it? Because I've been doing a lot of the chatting for this one.
Okay, so we have a very exciting new show to bring to you guys. And it's going to be a weekly live video called Noble Knights. And I guess you can think of it this way. We don't really like to leave our house too much, but we still enjoy talking to our bookish friends and talking books. So you can come and hang out with us once a week on live. It's going to be on YouTube. And just come and participate. We'll have fun every single week. We already have a ton of fun activities and topics planned. And you're going to get all of our different points of view, books recommendation, a little bit of bookish tea as well.
Yeah. It's a lot of seasonal content. So it's depending on where you are. So we might have some spooky. We might have some holiday reading. We may have some summer reading. So just be ready for seasonal recommendations, which is what Victoria is very well known for.
Yeah, I love living with the seasons, you know, from seasonal reading guides to seasonal living. I mean, that's how I live my life. So that's the kind of content I like to share. So I hope you guys will join us. Okay, we're going live every Thursday. We're starting the first Thursday in July. So let me get my actual calendar to tell you. So our first show, actually, no, it's the second Thursday in July. So our first show is going to be July 11th, 2024. Join us on YouTube, because if you don't like leaving your house, except for those rare occasions, I think that you will love hanging out with us too, because we don't want to leave our house, but we want to talk with you. So I hope you'll join us. It's going to be a fun time. All right, see everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. Again, I hope this episode really helps you to get to know us a bit more. And I hope you will join us at Novel Nights. Again, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And our first show is July 11th. All right, see everyone. Bye.
Bye. See you there.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.